Welcome to Arise Life, a community of believers being equipped, empowered, and released into their destiny. For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
We're going to keep going with John, and I'm just going to trust the Lord weaves all this together. In John chapter 2, if you got Bibles, anybody Bibles, 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 you will win points with me. I see that phone. I see that phone. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So you guys remember last week, Jesus saved a wedding. He brought the wine to the wedding. How much wine did he make?
A lot.
We talked about that. How many? 900 bottles worth. Six of these bad boys full of wine. Let me just tell you what. There's a reason why joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus brings a party everywhere he goes. And if your party is struggling, always invite Jesus. It's going to go good. All right, so it said from there, it said verse 11 of chapter 2, it said what Jesus did there here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Listen, people are not going to believe in God until they see glory. What is glory? It's a manifestation of who God is that nobody is going to mistake for you. When you have love, when you have peace that passes understanding, in other words, peace when if that makes you feel stupid because everyone else is freaking out, that's glory. When you have healing, that's glory. When you have things that could not be you, that's glory. And so glory is what causes people to believe, not arguments. I've said this before. I love this line. C.S. Lewis. You guys know who C.S. Lewis is? He was an intelligent apologetist. He was a logician. He did logic. And it said that he said this interesting line. He said, "I did not believe in the Trinity. And my brother picked me up in his motorcycle and sidecar, and I got in, not believing in the Trinity. And when we got to where we were going, we got to the zoo, I believed in the Trinity." Huh? Logic will only take you so far. At the end of the day, it takes faith, and for faith, you need glory. All right. After this, verse 12, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and disciples. And they stayed there for a few days. So you guys remember he went up from Bethany, where there on number one for where he was baptized, went up to Bethsaida, picked him up some disciples because that's what you do in Bethsaida. And then he swung around to Cana, number three, for the wedding. And then he's making his way back to Capernaum. Can we go to the next map? Thank you. Yes, you are awesome. And so he went to Canaan, and now the next map, he goes back to Capernaum. And there we are. So Capernaum, it says down. The reason is down is Canaan is about 1,000 feet above where Capernaum is. So literally, he went down to Capernaum. And Capernaum was basically his home, his base of operations. That's where he hung out. That's where he did life. And he said he went there with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, you guys, anybody ever get weirded out by the fact that Easter moves every year? And you're like, you can't predict where it is? That's a carryover from Passover. Yeah, in Orthodoxy, then we end up with two Easters. It gets weird. But anyway, it carried over from Passover, which also moves. And I won't get you all the details, but it's at a different time every year. And this year was most likely 28 AD, and it was April 26th. It was about as late as Passover could be. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And this is a story that anybody here had too much Sunday school as a child? And the Bible has been dumbed down to little cartoons in your head? When I'm reading the Bible, I have to get past the cartoon because it was real people living real life. Because if it is, then I actually can, it has something for me. Cartoons only take me so far. So I was just thinking about this. The interesting thing about Passover is the first of the feasts, and it follows the very first harvest. So anybody grew up in agriculture, you know this, that it is really between the planting and the harvest, everything's in play. and you're eating the last of your food, hoping for the harvest. You're living in fear. Nothing is certain until the harvest. And so Passover is this massive celebration of, we made it! Anybody have it? That's your testimony? You're like, yes! I made it to my tax return in Jesus' name. You know, and so this is an exciting time, but the problem is it's also right at the end of the rainy season. So Passover could happen in middle March when the rains are still going, or it can happen at the end of April when the rains are gone. And this is at the end of it, when the rains are gone. And so in other words, what would happen is streams of people, probably about 100,000, 150,000 people stream into Jerusalem. So you can imagine Jesus is going down the road and he's walking down the road. And every time they met a crossroads, another group of people come in. And it's like a party train. It's like the conga line that everybody's making their way to Jerusalem. Like, we did it. We made it. It's a party. Thankfully, the sun is shining. It's not raining, but there's still rivers to cross. And they're making their way down to Jerusalem. And it's a party. They're excited. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Judaism, according to Deuteronomy, every three times a year, Jews were supposed to go to Jerusalem. But you love about religion. Religion does one of two things with the gospel. It either dumbs it down to the level of our experience or raises it to a level we're unable to do on our own. And they said three times a little much. They had dumbed it down to either the tradition at that time was go once a year or at least once in your lifetime. And so Jesus, almost certainly being a good Jew, went at least once a year, maybe three times a year for most of his life. He may have gone as little as 20, 25 times to Jerusalem. He may have gone as many as 80 times to the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? Just setting the scene. And it said, in the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables, exchanging money. So he did what you or I would do, and he made a whip. That's why we have a safety team. To take out your whips. If you bring a whip, I'm sorry, you're probably going to be, they're going to pat you down. Just saying. So he made a whip out of cords. We're not that biblical. Out of cords, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins. It drove out of the temple the courts, both sheep and cattle, and he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. Wow, you thought we took our church service sideways this morning. That was a different Passover. Now, I want to say something. My image growing up, anybody saw this picture of Jesus? Yeah. Anybody, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're like, finally, a God I can get behind. Zap him, Jesus. Get him good. And generally, people end up on one side or the other. They're like, yeah, that's right, Jesus, beat him. And the other side, oh, Jesus, you scare me. True? So we do not have a God like Zeus who sits up with lightning ready to strike you. But we also don't have a terry cloth bathrobe Jesus either. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have a Jesus who makes us uncomfortable. So I want to unpack this a little bit. So Jesus has been going there 25 to 80 times. He has seen the same scene every time, and he's never done this. You can imagine his mother is mortified. Jesus, you did not just do that, right? We're never going to be able to show our face in the temple again. What? But let me show you the scene a little bit differently. So I have to get real. So I just got to get real. So I decided to make a whip of my own. And I practiced. Who wants to? I need a few volunteers. Whew, this got seriously messed up quickly. All right. Because the question is, what did he make these out of? More than likely, so the temple was full of animals. Because here's the crazy thing about Jerusalem. Historically, they figured out, do you want to know what Jerusalem had? No economy. It had no manufacturing. It had no production of goods apart from one thing. They had a sacrificial system. Their entire economy was based on the festivals and the sacrifices. So they created it. So anybody here been to Six Flags? Ever bought a sandwich that was worth about 50 cents, them paying you to eat, and you paid $20? Anybody? Or you bought a t-shirt that cost people in sweatshops 3 cents to make that you paid 45 for? Do you know what I'm talking about? This was Jerusalem.
Hello, get your Caiaphas Memorial cups over here. Over here, get this way. I mean, it was a complete tourist trap. Literally, everybody comes into town, you know, oh, you're going to want to pay for that. Yeah, that. So we're sleeping three people on that cot. You take turns, and it'll be $150 each. Breakfast is extra, right? I mean, it's a complete tourist trap, but to add insult to injury, you're required to give these, to sacrifice animals, right? And so, but these animals have to be clean. They have to be pure. They have to be without blemish. Now, business people, you're already there with me, aren't you? I see an opportunity here. I see an opportunity. Oh, I'm so sorry. So what they did is you would come, if you were local, you could bring your animal with you, but the animal had to be checked out by the priest. Yeah, go over in the line over there. The priest Eli will see you in 3 years from now. Or there's no waiting over here. We have pre-prepared, without blemish, these lovely animals. Yes, for a slight fee. Do you see what's happening? They created a system where they jacked up goods. You know, it would be the cow had a Six Flags symbol taped on the side, right? That they did this thing. But on top of that, when you came to give your monetary gifts, first of all, you couldn't buy the animals unless you used their currency, and you had to exchange your currency. Anybody traveled abroad and changed currency and wondered what happened to your money? Like, you're like, if I change this back and forth three or more times, I'm going to end up broke, right? This is what happened, which, by the way, is illegal according to the Torah to change money with fellow Jews and to take a percentage. So they're in the temple running a scam and another scam and another scam because the entire city is one big tourist trap. When it's supposed to be the place they do what? Worship and meet God. Now, Jesus has been seeing this for 25 years. I promise you, that was probably the question that he was doing at 12. Like, guys, anybody see a problem with this system? And they're like, shut up, kid. Right? For a long time. But what happened that he snapped? First of all, I want to say he didn't snap, did he? You know, it takes a while to make a whip. It took me, I'm not very good at it. It probably took me like 20 minutes. But he would gather up, the ropes were probably from the halters of the animals that are lying around. They had tons of them. And he's just, you know, he's sitting there looking. And they're like, what you doing, Jesus? Just a little something. But I want to tell you this. Anybody been around cattle? Yes. Anybody tried to discuss with a cow? Encourage them to move?
No.
It's hilarious. Have you ever tried to get a cow to move? This is so funny. You like push on their rear and they're like, and you did what?
Yeah.
I am eating right now. You know, you can't get it. That's the way it cracks me up when people talk about cow tipping. A cow's looking at you, you're like, really? So the reality is the only way you get a cow to move is by... Okay, you guys ready? There's this big temple area. There's tons of cows, goats in the middle. And Jesus goes up. Whack! What? That hurt. And he whacks one in the rear. Now, the funny thing about cows is they're herd animals. So if one starts moving, what do the others do?
Follow.
We're moving. Yes, we are moving. Why are we moving? I have no idea where we're moving. We're moving! Right? And suddenly, now imagine you're a goat, and there are 20 cows going, we're moving! And you suddenly, and the sheep are like, ah! Right? And suddenly it's like, conga line, party! And where are they running? They're running for the gates. Now, for a good reason, they smell blood. They've been wanting to get out for a while, right? Suddenly, there's a stampede. If you've seen a stampede, it's a mess. Everybody jumps out of the way. It's and nobody, but you don't, he's not whipping people.
No way.
But see, God is a God of love. And one of the things the Lord always does when I see a story is he said, do you see love yet? If you don't see love yet, we'll look deeper. The only thing he really focused on were what? The money changers' tables, right? And the doves. Why the doves? Why did he focus on the doves? Do you guys remember? When he was 8 days old, his mom and dad, who were refugees in Bethlehem, came up, didn't have a place to live, But they still came up to make their sacrifice. Do you guys remember what sacrifice they used?
Doves.
Two doves. Why did they give two doves? We're told in Deuteronomy that they had the choice to be able to exchange the mandatory sheep or ram for two doves if they couldn't afford it. And that sounds wonderful until you bought the Six Flags doves. Do you see the problem? The very people that he was supposed to be loving, being loved and cared for, were being blocked from God. And he went and made a difference. Now, here's the deal. He had seen the same problem over and over again for how many years and never did anything. What is different now?
It's time.
It's time. Listen to me on this. You can do things. You can bang your... Anybody banged your head at a wall for 400 years and it finally moves? And you think it was you? And it was really somebody who's like, I'm sorry, what are you banging here for? I want to give a quick example. You guys, in 1990, in East Germany, you guys remember there was a wall. A wall, Berlin Wall. Anybody who tried to cross it was shot. Hundreds of people had died doing this. But they were trying something new, and they thought, maybe we can figure out a way to let some people through and some people not. And they came up with this policy that you could apply to be able to leave East Germany for a permit. And they handed this guy the notice to read that people could apply to leave. He was on air at a news conference. He read it. And he got to the end, and people said, when does it start? They neglected to put that it starts in 1 month. He said, I guess today. That was all it took. Several hundred people said, we can leave. And they started walking to the barricades. 100 people, and the guys with guns who had shot hundreds of people already, didn't know what to do, and they paused for a brief second, and that brief second was all it took. Suddenly, 100 people became thousands of people. Next thing you know, the wall is physically being torn down by people, and next, they're raiding the secret police, and the entire East German government falls. For 45 years, it stood. In a moment, it fell. Kairos, knowing your moment. Banging your head against a wall has no value in and of itself. Responding to Holy Spirit in the Kairos moment does. What I want to say is, Jesus has seen the same problem for all of his life. What changed? Holy Spirit said, now is your time. But if you allow your voice to be diluted, if you allow yourself to be drawn away into all the shoulds, you will not recognize your Kairos moment. So I have a really quick question. What are some of the important issues today that God cares about? Go.
Sex trafficking.
All right, come on.
Abortion.
What else? What?
Bullying.
Immigration.
Divorce.
Drugs.
Orphans.
I heard orcas at first. Orphans. He cares about them too.
Poverty,
people,
homelessness,
abuse,
unreached people,
sickness. Okay, I can't write fast enough. I have a question. Which of these is the most important? Anybody, but here's my question. Have you ever had someone who was passionate about something and they were not okay that you were not as passionate about what they were as passionate about as you? I didn't get that. I think you understood what I meant. Anybody here been shamed? Don't you love people? And what do you do? Mute. Unfollow. No, but what I want to say is screaming and annoying everyone is not a good use of your voice. But anybody know anybody who literally is for every single cause? Like literally, like their entire feed is that entire list. Like four times, like repost. You're like, unfriend. You lose your voice When you champion everything, listen, this is not a competition. Your value doesn't come, well, this is the most important, or this is the most, your value doesn't come from what issues are hot. The value comes from your obedience to God in the moment to respond to the issues he has in the moment. Did Jesus not care all of his life? No, he cared. But he didn't waste his energy until it was the moment, to the time. Some of us are called to go deep in one issue. Listen, I'll tell you this. You know what? Some people might say this is the healing church. Guess what? We're not about healing here. What we are is for people having an encounter with God and being transformed and never being the same. Healing's a means to the end, but I will drop healing like a hot potato any day of the week if it will allow people to have an encounter with God's love. You have to know what you're called to, and you have to know the moment to be able to respond and not get distracted by all the shoulds. So as we go into worship right now, I just want to encourage you. Listen, if you've been being distracted because everybody's been telling you should care about this, or you should do this, or have you done this, well, I just want you to lay it all down for a minute. God has things that he wants you to bring change to today even. There are things that he has on your heart, but he can't do everything. He can do one or two things through you, and he will change the world through you. So if we could just stand. Father, I ask right now that you would speak to hearts. Whatever you're doing, Lord, strip away all the shoulds, all the things where I'm passionate simply because my neighbor or my cousin or my sister or my brother is passionate. Lord, what are you speaking to me? What do you want to do through me? Lord, what do you want to do through me today? Lord, just strip it all away. Forgive me for diluting my voice. I don't want to do things out of rage. I don't want to do things out of reaction. I don't want to do things as an echo of someone else. You've given me a voice to bring a change, and I choose to embrace your voice speaking through me today. As we go into worship, let's just lean in.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Sing that again. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. Thank you.
before you have a mission, before you have a Kairos moment, before you have anything, before you have love to give, you are loved. Not for what you do, but because you are His. He formed you. He made you to know His love, to have a relationship with Him. And if in hearing everything today, you realize, wow, I don't have that. No shame. Today's the day, though. If that's you, just say with me, Father, forgive me that I've tried to do life on my own, that I've tried to earn your love. I surrender to your love. I give you all of me, as little as it is, and I receive all of you. Let His love surround you. Let Him take the mess of your life and give you His love in return. Whoa. God's on the move. Some of you, as we've been doing things, God's been piquing your heart with words of knowledge, and you feel called to pray for other people in this body. Go do it. If some of you feel like, man, you realize now God's healed you. Nobody even prayed for you. Awesome. Please come tell us. If you've got a testimony of any kind, please tell us. We want to celebrate what God's doing, but more than anything, we want you to know His love. And once you know His love, to let others know that love as well. We've got a huddle going with Masha at the back if you're interested in transition. And again, if you have any healing, please let us know. And if the prayer teams could come up, if you need prayer for anything, you're halfway healed, no, not healed at all, and you'd like prayer, they're here for you, or anything else. But whatever you do, don't leave today without knowing His love for you. Have a great day, guys. Also, we're going to try something new today. If you have a testimony of some healing, it could be happening here or it could have happened, we'd love to capture it on video right up here. If you'd be willing just to share a 10-second, 15-second testimony, that'd be great. Just come right up here and Brian will help take care of you. Or I will too.